Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The gunman who targeted a Buffalo, New York supermarket plans to plead guilty on Monday to killing 10 people and wounding 3 others. That's according to lawyers representing victims' relatives. 19-year-old Peyton Gendron is scheduled to appear in Erie County Court for a hearing that was postponed for a week by a snowstorm. The 25-count grand jury indictment includes charges of murder, murder as a hate crime, and domestic terrorism motivated by hate. Police in China have been detaining and arresting people as protests against the country's strict COVID measures spread to some of the bigger cities. Blank pieces of paper have become a symbol of defiance for protesters in China. They are expressing their anger over the country's COVID-19 restrictions. Protesters in Shanghai are chanting, "Down with leader Xi Jinping," with some calling on the Chinese leader to resign. At least 4 people have been killed and dozens more injured after an offshoot of Al-Qaeda attacked a popular hotel in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, overnight. Battling continues at the Villa Rose Hotel, which is popular with government officials. Police say an unknown number of assailants armed with explosives and guns are involved. The Al-Qaeda affiliate is called Al-Shabaab, and they have claimed responsibility. As holiday travel winds down, there were over 4,300 flights delayed on Sunday. Today, 412 have been delayed so far. Weather is the main culprit. Hey, 63-year-old Irene Cara, actress and singer of fame and Flashdance in the early 80s, died over the weekend in Largo, Florida, a suburb of Clearwater. USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Two men in their mid-60s were trapped for 7 hours inside a small plane, tangled in live wires about 100 feet from the ground after it crashed into power lines in Maryland Sunday evening. The single-engine aircraft crashed into the high-tension wires as it prepared to descend towards Montgomery County Airport, that's in Gaithersburg, around 5:30 p.m. local time. William Smouse was a witness during the rescue.
We can see the light in the cockpit of the cell phone from the pilot. We did hear that they called in to say they were okay. So it's pretty scary.
As crime in Philadelphia continues to be a problem, 4 students were shot last week. Tony Maruso reports.
4 Overbrook High School students were shot Wednesday morning shortly after being dismissed for the Thanksgiving break. 2 15-year-old girls were injured and 2 16-year-old boys were also injured. Police said all students were taken to local hospitals and are in stable condition. There has been no word on what led to that shooting. Tony Wallington, the Philadelphia School District Superintendent, spoke about the plans to keep students safe.
This is a law enforcement matter. We appreciate law enforcement's swift response. On the school district side, we will continue to invest in our Safe Pass program. Chief Kevin Bethel and his team are working on that around the clock, making enhancements and improvements, and we're going to redouble our efforts and continue to work with the city and the state to address this unacceptable problem in Philadelphia.
From the Gulf Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, happy Monday to you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more info on the show, check it out. BillMartinezShow.com. Dr. Michael Bustler is with us, the public policy analyst and economics professor. Hey, Michael, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. We got lots on the docket to talk about, but let's talk, if we can, about the social cost of carbon emissions as the Biden administration continues to wage this war on fossil fuels and carbon. I mean, this is unbelievable. According to the White House, plan to raise its cost of carbon estimates from the already high $51 per metric ton to $190 this year, just about a fourfold increase here. This is going to put so much pressure on our energy sector, Michael. What do you make of this?
Yeah, so this is probably the worst time to be considering something like this. This will obviously add significantly to the cost of energy being produced, and of course that's going to result in higher energy prices. Look, this whole thing with climate change and going away from internal combustion engines that produce carbon, these kind of changes typically happen gradually, and the market will take care of this. The government really doesn't have to get that involved if that's what the majority of the people truly want. In other words, a hundred and so or so years ago, we used to use the horse and buggy. Well, automobiles came out, internal combustion engines. The government didn't all of a sudden mandate you stop using horse and buggies and start driving cars. What happened was the market simply took care of it. And gradually, over time, the demand for cars increased. And as that happens and people saw the efficiency in them and how it could make things better by using them, they went out and bought them. And the market took care of the transition, and it was somewhat gradual, and it didn't cause any severe disruptions. If suddenly they mandated everybody has to drive a car, well, we don't have enough gas stations. That would have caused chaos. That's essentially what they're trying to do now. They're trying to mandate that everybody drive electric vehicles, and we're simply not equipped with the infrastructure to handle that.
Much less the electric vehicles themselves, Michael. I think they can only produce enough EVs for about 10% of the market. So, I mean, this isn't a dream. This is a nightmare, and this is absolutely government manipulation at its worst.
Yeah, and it comes at the absolute worst time. We're suffering from an inflation problem. A big chunk of the inflation problem is due to rising energy prices. A chunk of the rising energy prices are due to the administration restricting the supply of fossil fuels. And Biden did that literally the first day he got into office. So what we really should be concerned about in the short term is getting energy prices and inflation down. And then if the majority of Americans truly believe we should switch to electric vehicles, then the marketplace will handle that.
Exactly.
There's not really a sufficient demand in the market for these electric vehicles. If there was sufficient demand, the government wouldn't have to give rebates. And rebates are designed to lower the price to consumer and get the consumption up. Well, if there is sufficient demand, you don't have to do that.
No, so, it's natural inertia that takes over. Michael, let me ask you, historically, when has the government ever created any demand other than for liberty? But I mean, you know, from a standpoint of messing around with the marketplace, is, you know, right now, I mean, it's just, you can't look back and go, wow, I'm sure, you know, okay, I'm a little squeamish. I don't quite understand what's going on right now, but boy, they sure made this work, you know, years ago, and they made that work. I don't have that as a reference. I only have, you know, as Ronald Reagan says, every time the government comes in and says, hey, I'm here to help. I mean, it's like, man, you want to lock the door.
Yeah, in fact, that's how Ronald Reagan said that was one of his biggest fears when the government said, hey, I'm here to help you. You knew you were in big trouble. You said you tried to look back in history and see some examples where the government influenced the market and it turned out to be positive. Well, you said you had a tough time coming up with any examples. I would similarly have a tough time coming up with any examples. Every time the government muddles with a market by either changing the price or changing the production, either encouraging it or restricting it, it ends up causing problems in the market. And most times, maybe all times, it ends up doing more harm than good. Remember, the Obama administration wanted to promote the use of solar panels.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They started giving out huge amounts of money to companies to build solar panels. There was not sufficient demand in the market. I think, was it Solyndra? They lent
Solyndra. $500 million of the people's money. And then on top of that, which made things worse, they allowed the Chinese to come in and, in a sense, compromise and undermine the people's investment. Because it was the people's money that Obama used, right? And then he allows the Chinese to come in and kneecap our own investment. I mean, you see, this is the stupidity of our government. And it's amazing. I mean, here it is. We've got riots in China. There's riots around the world right now for one reason or another. China right now, it happens to be because of the COVID restrictions. And you're sitting there going, how far are we away from, you know, riots in the streets of America, just saying, wait a minute, this government has got to get out of the way and they've got to find a lane to stay in that is, you know, that is pertinent and efficient. That all these things they come up with is one hot mess after another, and it continues to cost us money. And we can ill afford the Joe Biden administration and you know, his ill-fated vision that he has for our country, Michael.
Yeah, you know, the way that marketplace works, it's a very democratic process. Consumers can think of that when they buy things, they're essentially casting dollar votes.
Yes, exactly.
So if there's products that the majority of consumers want, they'll end up buying it. It means they'll cast a whole lot of dollar votes. The company will be profitable, and they'll continue to make the product. If a business makes a product that consumers really don't want, then they won't buy it. There'll be fewer people casting dollar votes. The company will then not have any profitability, and the product will come off the market. So what determines what products are actually produced and given to consumers? The consumers determine that by casting their dollar votes. Right now, hardly anybody is voting for this electric cars because they're only a couple percent of the market, and people are not voting for solar energy as much as the government would like. I live in New Jersey. They have a program where essentially the solar panels are free because of government rebate. Yeah. So again, the government's trying to influence consumption, and it's not what consumers really want.
This is not their job, Michael. This is why they keep messing this thing up. And the people have got to let them know. I mean, and it's more, I think it's going to be more than just, you know, calling your senator and congressman. Because, you know, Joe Biden has, you know, has bought into the philosophy, and we're just getting a little glimpse of it, of the Obama administration, and that is, okay, I've got a pen, I've got a cell phone, and get ready, the executive orders are going to be coming, you know, flying out of the Oval Office nonstop. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Dr. Michael Bussler after this. Stay with us.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. The Lord is moving in Thailand, and we at the Tide Ministry are incredibly grateful for the many volunteers who dedicate their time and talents to sharing the gospel through our radio broadcasts. This work would not be possible without the passion of those who are on fire for the gospel. Often, those who come to know the Lord through our broadcasts are the ones who know how valuable it can be, and they volunteer their own time and talents to help share the good news with others. The response of the listeners in Thailand is incredibly encouraging. Whether helping out in the studio or meeting with listeners, we pray that these volunteers continue to share the good news with those in their communities. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in Thailand whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
With your fresh Russian independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Good to be with you. On the West Coast here, Michael, where this is the headquarters for $6 and $7 per gallon gas. I was fortunate the last couple of days to find something, you know, less than $5, but you have to look. You know, you got to do some traveling and understand where it's happening. There's been some promotions, I think, in the past week down in San Diego, for example, where some of these, gas stations said, hey, we're just going to have a, I'm going to give everybody a break, and, you know, and they're only charging like $3.99. Well, needless to say, you can see the lines powering up there, but it's interesting to say the least. I feel for the people here in California. I mean, you know, it's inflation abounding. You know, like I said to you offline, is that, the government is still pausing on declaring whether or not it's a recession. I said, well, the heck with that. I mean, the people know. We know what we're dealing with. And, you know, just like with Obama, it'll be 6 months, 8 months after the fact. And they'll go, well, the truth be known, you know, we've been in a recession. Well, no kidding. Like, we need you geniuses to tell us that. You know, we see that every day, real life, when we go to the gas station. We see what's happening with our salaries. People are now being laid off. When you even have Meta laying people off. Of course, Elon Musk, as he took over Twitter. And we're hearing more and more layoffs coming. Michael, it does not bode well. And this is all being exacerbated by these terrible policies, you know, from the Biden administration.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole lot of things you said there. High gasoline prices, they've actually stabilized a little bit, but I think they're going to start going back up again. Energy prices are, as the winter comes on and things get worse. One thing I'm really worried about, now we all complain about the high gasoline prices, but what about diesel fuel?
Yes,
diesel
exactly.
Fuel is more than $1 a gallon higher than gasoline. Now, that impacts a lot of very key industries. Look at farmers. I've talked to some farmers over the summer, and they tell me their costs have skyrocketed. I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, first of all, they're paying 2 to 3 times more for fertilizer than they did the year before, because that's petroleum-based. They're paying much more for labor now, because the Biden administration continues to pay people not to work. So in order to get people to work, you have to raise wages to draw them back. So they have a wage problem. But they told me the biggest problem is all of their equipment operates on diesel fuel. Mm-hmm. And the diesel fuel prices are killing them. When they harvest their products and go to market this year, they're going to have to get significantly higher prices than they got last year, or they're not going to be in business. So I see a food inflation problem, which is already a problem. I think that problem is going to get significantly worse going into the future. The Biden administration policy on energy is geared towards some social goal and some climate change. In the meantime, the restriction on supply has driven prices up. They can blame it on world markets, and world markets do have somewhat of an impact. But the U.S. today is producing 11.3 million barrels of oil per day. At our peak, we were producing 12.5 million. So if we just get back to where we were before, that would have a significant effect on bringing down gasoline and heating oil and diesel prices, and that would put a big dent in helping with the inflation problem. The Biden administration is also making the inflation problem worse by these huge deficits. Last year, they had nearly a $3 trillion deficit, and they said, well, we brought the deficit down. We cut it in half. It's down to $1.5 trillion. Mm. Yeah, that's true, but that's the third highest deficit in history. Only 20 right. and 21 were higher. And at a time when you have high inflation, the government should not be adding more excess demand by all this deficit spending. Look, they had a $3 trillion deficit last year, primarily because of the American Rescue Plan and the infrastructure package. They're not passing either of those this year. They should come pretty close to balancing the budget. Instead, they're looking to spend money on the Inflation Reduction Act, which is an oxymoron. It's not going to reduce inflation. It's going to make it worse. And while the Federal Reserve tries to get this inflation problem down, the federal government spending is making it worse, meaning the Federal Reserve is going to have to act even more aggressively to bring inflation down. They're going to raise interest rates another 0.75 point, December 12th or 13th when they meet. That still won't be enough. I think going into next year, you're looking at another 2 or 3 rate increases, possibly as much as 0.75 basis points each to finally bring the inflation down. Now, the negative part of that is it's likely to make the recession worse. But most economists would say you're looking at two evils here. The worst evil is embedded inflation. And you don't want to get that in. It's very difficult to get rid of. So even if we have a recession next year to break the inflation problem, they would rather see that than allow the inflation problem to get much worse.
Get embedded. Yeah, exactly. Michael, and one of the things you didn't mention, but we talked earlier, that this is also causal, is the, you know, what Joe Biden is doing with the tuition fee waiver. I mean, you know, he's delayed the payment again. He's extended it. He's hit another pause button, and the courts have already said that his forgiveness program is illegal. This is something that has to be clearly done. I mean, what if, you know, the Biden administration just wants to ignore the Constitution altogether, right?
Yes, and, you know, there's some political reasons, I assume, why he's doing this, but if you continue to forgive the loan payments so people don't have to make the loan payments, that's inflationary.
Right.
Because here's money, it's $110 a month, I would, or $200 a month, whatever it is, I would be spending. I would have to pay on my student loan. I don't have to do that. So now I can take this money and go out and spend it on anything I want. That increases demand in the marketplace. We already have an excess demand problem, which is causing inflation. So by forgiving these loans, saying you want to help people, you actually are going to make the inflation problem worse and make it harder for the Federal Reserve to finally break the back of inflation.
Well, some have said that Joe Biden got what he wanted, and that was he wanted to get the youth vote. And it came out, and you know, some strategists are analyzing, you know, what happened with the red wave. And they said basically the red wave got firewalled by all the young people, you know, coming out. And basically Joe Biden bought their vote with this tuition forgiveness program. So, you know, when you look at these numbers, it's not like you have to have 50% more people coming out. You just, you know, you get 5-10% here and it all adds up and has an impact. And it firewalled, you know, the Democrats against the red wave that, you know, smart move strategically. You got to give them credit for doing that. It just galls me that they use my money to buy their votes. And, you know, by doing the, you know, these kind of shenanigans along with, you know, the money that they're doing on the Green Deal that, you know, it's all, you know, operating on a theory, Michael, and we're paying lots of money. We're getting ourselves deeper in debt. Inflation, recession continues. And as you mentioned, even with this diesel, people don't realize how dangerous the impact of the cost of diesel and what this will have in terms of moving goods. I mean, this will probably be worse than an EMP attack, in my humble opinion. You know, electromagnetic. Yeah. We heard about that, you know, for many years. Oh, this is going to happen. The Russians are going to, if they do this, they're going to knock out our. I mean, hey, look, just stop goods from moving, you know, from east to west and choke off diesel fuel. I mean, we're dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so much of the economy really depends on diesel fuel. As I mentioned, the whole agricultural industry. Look at retailers. Retailers get all of their goods shipped in by truck.
Exactly.
Fuel also. So now that cost continues to go up, too. And there's a rippling effect of raising energy prices. What the Biden administration should be concerned about now, let's get this inflation problem under control.
Michael, I don't think they care. I don't think they care. I don't think they care one bit. If they did, it would be simple. You know, you would start immediately, because it's going to take you time anyway, to reverse the damage that they did in the energy sector. But, you know, they're just steady as they just keep on going. I mean, they're not interested in the pain that everyday Americans are being subjected to and how this will be increasing, especially, as you say, in the ensuing winter months.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Their goals are, Biden said that, look, I've got a Democratic Senate, a Democratic Congress, and I'm a Democrat. This is the one time in history I have a chance to get all of these social programs through And,
well, got to leave it there. Dr. Michael Bussler, thank you, sir.
Message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed a bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
What's the best product I bought this year? Oh, that's easy. Salonpas pain-relieving patches. The proven medicines in Salonpas patches reduce my pain and let me do the things I need to do every day.
In a recent clinical study, patients using Salonpas reported improved sleep, mood, and the ability to work. They had less pain and were able to reduce their use of oral pain medications.
For pain, I use Salonpas. It's good medicine.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Police in China have been detaining and arresting people as protests against the country's strict COVID measures spread to some of the bigger cities. Blank pieces of paper have become a symbol of defiance for protesters in China. They're expressing their anger over the country's COVID-19 restrictions. Protesters in Shanghai are chanting, "Done with leader Xi Jinping," and some are calling on the Chinese leader to resign. At least four people have been killed and dozens more injured after an offshoot of Al-Qaeda attacked a popular hotel in Somalia's capital Mogadishu overnight. Battling continues at the Villa Rose Hotel, which is popular with government officials. Police say an unknown number of assailants armed with explosives and guns are involved. The Al-Qaeda affiliate is called Al-Shabaab, and they have claimed responsibility. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hey, back with you 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Tennessee Bob checking in, reminding us, hey, when we start looking at these causal relations, or causal effects that are contributing to inflation, let's not forget all the money going to Ukraine. You're exactly right. And supposedly there's going to be an audit. I mean, there's rumblings of an audit taking place. I mean, can you imagine billions of dollars going? And, we would expect, I mean, you just take for granted. You think, well, they're spending our money. They're going to be responsible. They're going to know exactly where this is going. Do we? No. I mean, come on. We're talking about the U.S. government. Do they ever know where the money is going? This is why we have Adam Andrzejewski all the time, because he's holding them accountable. And we need to be more activated as we the people in holding this government accountable, because they just keep getting away with all these shenanigans. Daniel Natale is with us, the business ethics teacher and news analyst commentator for New American. Hey, Daniel, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Bill. I'm doing great. Much better than the country economically, apparently.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, this is dire. I mean, you've got people around the world, I was saying earlier, that are rioting in the streets in China, of course, because of COVID, but other various reasons, a lot economy driven. Ultimately, it does come back to the economy. And I'm saying, how far are we away from here in the United States of having people in the streets going, hey, enough of this stuff. You guys are incompetent. You know what you're doing. I mean, I mean, do you have any hope whatsoever that, Joe Biden and the administration talks about dealing with this inflation? And first of all, they're in denial about the recession. I mean, for goodness sakes, the people know we are in a recession. You know, however way you want to define it, but of course they're trying to use the typical beltway math and plausible deniability to get around from the reality. But everyday people go to the stores, they go to the gas pumps, they see what's happening in their own, you know, with their own checkbooks, and they go, man, this smells like a recession, talks like a recession, walks like a we're in a recession, whether or not they want to make it so or declare it so.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, what people have to understand is that we're being hit by three things at the same time that are going to cause inflation. One is the retiring, like the demographic change that's happening. Like, for instance, it's from the 1990s on, I think 1989, we incorporated Eastern Europe into our labor pool, into the global labor pool. And in 1990, just a couple months later, China was incorporated. But the thing about that is they're aging out. Like those workers are aging out. And for 30 years, there was kind of corporations used kind of cheap, especially Asian labor. Like you could hire 47 Asian people in a sweatshop for what you would pay for one American. And so that artificially made electronics a lot cheaper. So, if for instance, if you looked at like an old TV show from the 70s or 60s or something, you'd look at a calculator and it would be like $200. Mm-hmm. And then for 30 years, those electronics came down in price because of this labor pool. And now, however, that labor pool is aging out and there's no one to replace it because of China's one-child policy. So now inflation is going to start rising up because of that factor. Factor number two is, of course, you know, the fact that Biden is shutting down energy. And when you restrict oil and petroleum, this makes it more expensive. So everything that has to be shipped, you know, on a freighter, on a truck, you know, that cost increase is going to be passed on to the consumer. So that's inflation number two. Inflation number three is, of course, them, you know, doing quantitative easing, especially after 2008 and COVID, where they injected an additional $9 trillion into the economy, diluting the dollar even more. So any one of these three would have caused inflation, but we're being hit with like all three at the same time. So
yeah, exactly. And then when you compromise, I mean, you've got a compromised a labor force in terms of aging out, and then you pay them to stay home. I mean, you're just adding fuel to the fire here. I don't know what these geniuses are coming up with, because I think even a fifth grader could figure this out, Daniel.
Well, that was one of the things that they were fighting with Trump about. There's a woman named Catherine Austin Fitz. She used to be the undersecretary for HUD, Housing and Urban Development. And she said that there was two basic cartels, if you want to simplify it like that. One wanted to sacrifice the empire to save America. And the other wanted to sacrifice America to save the global empire. And so that was that two fights. So Trump wanted to build up American manufacturing. He wanted to kind of shore up America's like energy and make us energy independent. You know, he wanted to be an American president as opposed to Barack Obama, who was called the first global president. And that's kind of, you know, that war was fighting out. But one of the things, there's an economist named Triffin. He was a Belgian economist, and he is famous for Triffin's paradox, or Triffin's dilemma, they call it. Right. And that's basically when a country has the world's reserve currency, they're encouraged by all the countries of the world to keep printing up dollars, right, to do their transactions. So if Belgium and Japan want to do a transaction, they're going to want to do that in dollars. So they're always going to be pressuring us to keep printing and printing and printing and to not be fiscally responsible. So what happens with empires, with the world reserve currency, is that eventually there's so much pressure to keep printing that the currency devalues. And so right now, you know, and so basically they make that cynical, you know, kind of formulation. Do we sacrifice manufacturing in our country by making the dollar, you know, quote unquote, strong? It sounds good. Oh, the dollar's strong. What that means is that it's more expensive to buy products overseas, right? You know, American products. And so they're basically sacrificing America to have this global economic grid that is encouraging us to just hyperinflate. And it's basically, we're seeing the end game now.
Yeah, why don't they know this, Daniel? It just seems so foolish. I mean, because you look at the trajectory and it's clearly academic, and they can't even help themselves. I mean, they're just so bound and determined. I mean, typical of progressives, and certainly, you know, Marxists, is that, you know, they just can't have enough. We just need more time and we need more money. We'll prove to you that it's right when there's no, you know, there's no indication. Everything else about capitalism and everything that is the American way, there are consistent benchmarks that tell you that you're going down, you know, the right part of the yellow brick road. But here, they're delusional.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically what we're seeing, if you want to simplify it really grossly, is the age of mercantilism was before the age of capitalism. And in mercantilism, we didn't make anything. You just sail a ship, you know, to the other side of the world. You buy silk, you sail back to Europe, you sell it for a higher price, but you don't make anything. Capitalism was revolutionary because you make things. You can make your own luck, right? So with a factory, you can make things. So basically the war that's playing out now is that Trumpian capitalist, you know, save America. We produce things. We have a productive economy. Or you go to the old mercantilist global kind of globalism, slaves, sweatshop workers, you know, and that's been the fight. And, you know, the moral, you know, tone of that fight is, you know, basically, do you want a world where, you know, people live in dignity and prosperity, or do you want a world of sweatshop workers and censored speech and kind of oligarchs ruling? And that's the battle that we're undertaking right now, that we're facing, you know.
It's interesting. In this age of progressivism, we're regressing, basically, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that odd? I mean, it's ironic. I mean, in all the brilliance of these so-called ruling elites, what they're doing is they're taking us back. I mean, we've kind of, you know, made the reference that what Joe Biden has done with our energy sector is that he's returning us to the horse and buggy stage of our country. I mean, we can't afford it, right? So let's, you know, bring on the buggies. I mean, the Amish are going, hey, look at, I got a hot new deal on some buggies and some horses for you.
Yeah, everything about the left is, you know, 19th century, you know, or 18th century.
But they think they're just so, you know, they're so revolutionary and they got these great ideas and going, wait a minute, you can't even play this out, this scenario out to see where you're going, to see that you're heading for a cement wall. It's going to be a disaster. And, you know, again, with the capitalism system, we look at benchmarks and go, okay, yeah, right. Okay. We hit that benchmark. Okay, good. We're moving down the right road and we're continuing to do better each time. Not with these knuckleheads. These knuckleheads are just, they're so ideologically fixed that they've embraced stupidity to such a degree. And the sad thing is that we're in the bus with them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was on a talk with a sustainability guy named Jason Hickel. And he was talking about kind of strangling off productivity and how this would hurt the West. But then he didn't even pretend about that. He was like, yeah, but this is actually good because we're going to hurt the West. We're going to stick it to like those evil, like what, you know. And I mean, he was just openly filled with an animus toward Western civilization. So it's not that they're not aware that they're causing kind of a collapse. It's that they actually want to, and they're actually looking forward to hurting others. I mean, so when you listen to them in their own words, when they think they have a sympathetic audience, it's yes. really stunning.
But to what end, Daniel? I mean, look, we'll continue this. I want you to answer that question because that's the thing I keep going. So what utopia are you heading for? You know, Barack Obama talked about the fundamental transformation of America. It's like, to what? You know, but there's going to be a transformation. Yeah. More from Daniel after this. Stay with us.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance.
insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
What's the best product I bought this year? Oh, that's easy. Salonpas pain-relieving patches. The proven medicines in Salonpas patches reduce my pain and let me do the things I need to do every day.
In a recent clinical study, patients using Salonpas reported improved sleep, mood, and the ability to work. They had less pain and were able to reduce their use of oral pain medications.
For pain, I use Salonpas. It's good medicine.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
I'll tell you, the war on our Constitution continues, and it's never been so obvious as under this administration. I'm Bill Martinez, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Dan Natale is with us. He's the business ethics teacher, news analyst, and commentator for the New American Magazine. And Daniel has recently written The Senate as the Seat of Power. This is directly from our Constitution, and this has been under attack specifically and has and continues to get compromised, much to our injury, Daniel, here, as you point out.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at any republic in the past, the main, you know, kind of seat of power was the Senate. You know, there was no king of a republic, because that's right. The exact opposite, you know, thing that they wanted to do. I think with the Romans, they wanted to get rid of Tarquin, was the last king of Rome. And so when they built the republic, they purposely had a Senate with, you know, kind of diffuse power, you know, split among a number of men instead of just one guy. And so they weren't really about, you know, kind of a king or anything like that, but it was a Senate. And so in the United States, when we first created the republic under the Articles of Confederation, we had one branch of federal government, and that was the Senate. So we had delegates from the states come, and they kind of hashed things out amongst themselves. And so, you know, all throughout our history, the Senate really had, you know, domestically, the Senate was the power. You know, it was mm-hmm. the Senate that kept us out of the League of Nations after World War One. You know, it was the Senate that basically drove most of our policy. And so basically, there was a push, you know, essentially to disempower the states, because that's what the Senate means. The Senate represents the states.
Right.
So the Senate, you know, the states were supposed to have this check and balance over the federal government. And little by little, they kind of chipped away at that. And so now there's, you know, like you said in the previous segment, you know, there's very little check. There are very little checks and balances, and the federal government is just going wild because, you know, the states haven't really asserted their constitutional power, you know, and maybe that's time for that to change.
Yeah, exactly. And I maybe we're just going through the natural course of events and phases that you have to go through, Daniel, in terms of the Constitution. And I keep thinking, well, we've got to get back to first principles sooner or later here. And, you know, we're due for this because, you know, when you reread our Declaration of Independence and how the states laid out the grievances that they had against the King of England, it's like, whoa, boy, there's so much of that that's could be, you know, you can just overlay it over where we are here in 2022 with the U.S. government. You know, it's time for we the people to declare independence, you know, from this tyrannical government that's taken hold and has destroyed the very foundations and the constitutional principles that you and I grew up with.
Well, that's the good news, is that you're right. We have been here before, and I think we talked about it in a previous broadcast, and I think it was around 1790. They had the Alien and Sedition Act, where the Federalists were basically pretending to go after French spies, but really they were using those powers to arrest their political opponents, Thomas Jefferson's Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, so you had the Federalists, and it was very much like the Patriot Act.
Yes.
You know, where at first it's, oh, we're going after these foreign terrorists, and then they just use it to arrest Republicans, calling them domestic terrorists. Very, very similar. And the way... go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just, you know, I'm agreeing with what you're saying here.
Well, the way that Thomas Jefferson won was he bypassed the federal government altogether, because the federal government was just made up of the Federalist Party. All the judges, you know, like all the people in power, you know, were the Federalists, you know, and so he basically went to the states, and he went to the legislatures of Kentucky, Virginia, and a couple other states, and he said, you know what, we're not going to, you know, these laws against speech. Oh, one of the aspects of the Alien and Sedition Act as well was disinformation. They could arrest you for disinformation. Or one of the things was, at the time, John Adams, who was a Federalist, he was calling himself His Majesty. He thought he should be addressed as His Majesty, and anybody who makes fun of him, Benjamin Franklin's grandson called him His Rotundity, and maybe got arrested and thrown in jail for that. And Thomas Jefferson was like, the Constitution promises us free speech, freedom of the press. You can't just arrest people who insult you. And so, you know, so he went to the states, and he basically got the states to say, hey, you guys are violating the Constitution. And before the states could even pass any resolutions that they would not observe these unconstitutional laws from the federal government, the feds backed off. Mm-hmm. And they rescinded the laws, you know. So really, I mean, when you go to your state level and you go to your state legislature and you basically kind of, you know, educate them about these things, about their true power, you know, the feds will back off. We've seen it, you know, time and time again.
Yeah, but that's missing today. I mean, and several things come into play here. I mean, here we are. We've got early voting taking place in Georgia, as you know, for Herschel Walker versus Raphael Warnock for this Senate seat that is probably more critical than people realize, just how important that seat is. Even though the Democrats will continue to maintain power in the Senate, one vote difference could be huge here. That's in play, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this gets back to like what I was saying before about how they changed the nature of the Senate, right? So the Senate is the states having a check on power over the rest of the federal government, you know, and which, you know, in a country called the United States of America, you'd think the states would have power. But, you know, so in the Constitution, right, like the Senate was actually the first branch, right? They actually mentioned the Senate first before they mentioned the president. The presidency is mentioned third. So the Senate is first. So they were always called the first branch. The Senate, according to John F. Kennedy, who did a history of the Senate, he basically said that they were the original cabinet of the country. So the president didn't have a separate, you know, energy czar or head of infrastructure. It was originally the senators who were entwined with the executive branch. You know, just like today, I mean, the only residue we have of that is that the Senate and the president have to kind of come together with the Supreme Court justice nominations or diplomats or ambassadors. But originally, I mean, they were very, very intertwined, and they kind of dislodged, you know, little by little, the Senate. And then finally, Kennedy says, you know, after the Civil War, he said, before the Civil War, the Senate was filled with statesmen and philosophers. And he said, after the Civil War, it was filled, you know, instead of people representing their states, it was the senator from big oil. It was the senator from the railroad trust. It was the senator from the banks. And the corporations kind of took over. And this was consolidated with the 17th Amendment,
where they basically changed the way a senator was installed. Originally, it was the legislatures who installed a senator. They did not run for election because they were supposed to be above petty party politics. And so when they changed it to them being popularly elected, now they need money. And now that they need money, they have to go to the oligarchs. And now that they're answering to the oligarchs and not answering to their states.
Exactly.
The very nature of the Senate changed. So it's no longer the states, a confraternity of states. It's a confraternity of corporations. And that changes the dynamic inestimably.
And it's the same thing that they're doing in the House. I mean, you run for these House seats and the amount of money that's needed in order to win the seat, it's unconscionable. And who are they beholden to? They're beholden to those people that got them into office. This is why Nancy Pelosi was so strong and she was so influential over the Democratic Party, because she controlled the purse strings.
Well, the founding fathers actually knew that, and the House of Representatives was the only part of our government that was directly elected by the people, and they said they knew that the dumbest ideas would come from the House, like AOC's Green New Deal, mm-hmm. you know. But they said that the more aristocratic bodies, like the Senate and the presidency, you know, who were not directly elected, they were done in a two-step process, right? So you vote for your state legislature, and then the state legislators, who are more politically educated, would pick a man of intelligence and ethics and character, and he would, you know, and he would be installed by them. So it was a two-step process to winnow out kind of demagogues. And then the House was inherently demagogic, you know, with a bunch of just like, you know, grandstanders and political phonies and rabble rousers. And they knew that from the beginning, but they had these checks and balances to be able to overcome the excesses of the House of Representatives. And they thought they had it. Like John Stuart Mill says that in 1861, he said, just like in England with their House of Commons, they really did that so that they would stave off a revolution. So they had to give the average people some representation, but it had to be moderated by the House of Lords and the King. And that, we had that same setup in the United States. But here's the problem. We no longer have moderate voices
right.
in the executive branch or in Senate to be able to check those excesses like the Green New Deal that are now, I mean, all that kind of thinking, those radical ideas that in any functional system would have been weeded. It's kind of like the Beatles, right? The Beatles had Ringo, and he would be given one joking song
right.
you know, per album. But they had Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison, you know, who were kind of the adults. And so that's, you know, really what's happening is now we have Ringo, Ringo, and Ringo.
Yeah.
And we lost Lennon and McCartney.
Gosh, that is so true. Oh, my Lord. That sums up everything, ladies and gentlemen. This is a history lesson in less than 12 minutes, brought to you by Daniel Natal, and breaks it down brilliantly. You're exactly right, because there's no sense of moderation or serious reasoning, you know, coming out of the Senate. No wonder we're a hot mess at every turn, because, you know, where's the stopgap right now? There seems to be no governor over the insanity here, Daniel.
Yeah, and the only way that that's going to be, you know, solved historically, just like in 1790, was us going to the state level, going to the state legislatures, and basically, you know, educating our legislators and telling them, dude, you guys have the power. You know, you have to rein this in, or there's going to be serious, serious consequences for not just our country, but for the planet. If we go down this FTX kind of, you know, corrupt,
yes.
you know, government culture of corruption, I mean, that way leads to collapse.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, how much confidence do we have on the states? I mean, we already know many states are already compromised. I mean, they're as bad as the federal government. Right.
Yeah. Well, luckily we have a plurality of states. I mean,
yes.
And you can't just say, oh, it's the Republican states. But yeah, we still have a plurality. So, you know, something can be done. There can be, you know, change, peaceful change, you know, before
right.
things get out of hand.
I would hope so, that it would be a peaceful change. But I'm hard pressed a little bit, and I don't want to sound too cynical. But the fact of the matter is that Americans have got to be about their business of being we the people and returning back to first principles and the greatness that this American country and idea has been able to realize in years past. Daniel Natal has been with us. Thank you, Daniel.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I'm about to give...